time three of us been together in like 6 months. I can tell you're thrilled.
Yeah. So thrilled.
The blank stares really drove that one home for me.
People definitely can see our blank stares.
They can feel it. Listen, you could feel that tension. That is if Paul's software doesn't edit out the tension.
Yeah, I've been writing React all morning, please. I'm coming out of rabbit hole. I'm emerging. This is my emergence. I'm glad you were here for it.
Welcome.
Because you love React so much.
It's hard to break away.
I'm getting better at it.
You're going to be a React influencer soon.
Can't wait.
Let's talk RubyConf. And what better opportunity to talk RubyConf than this year's program chairs with us on Remote Ruby. We have Kinsey and Jim with us today, and we want to talk all things RubyConf 2024. So Kinsey, Jim, thanks for joining us today. And Kinsey, maybe you go first. If you guys wouldn't mind, just give us a quick introduction about yourselves.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having us. I'm Kinsey. I am based in Denver, Colorado. Yeah, I work at GitHub. I am the Ruby Central board and co-chairing this year with Jim for RubyConf in Chicago. Super excited.
Yeah, I'm Jim Remzik. I usually say Madison, Wisconsin. We're a little bit north of there these days, but I run a consultancy. We're all remote, located in North America, about 15 people, and do largely Ruby on Rails stuff. We're bringing back Madison Ruby this year. That's August 1st and 2nd. Excited about that. And 6 months later, we'll be down in Chicago in our backyard. So excited for both of those events.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility, two conferences.
On top of running a company, yeah.
Minor details, right? So first thing be interested in, Kinsey, you just mentioned that you're also on the Ruby Central board, mm-hmm. but I'd be interested to hear maybe how both of y'all got synced up to be program chairs this year.
We've been doing this trend a little bit of having someone from the community and then having a Ruby Central board member. So for RailsConf, it was Ufuk, who's on the board. And then we also had Andy Kroll, who has done Brighton Ruby, or who does Brighton Ruby, I think, because that's coming up this week, end of this week. Yeah. And Jim, obviously, with Madison Ruby and all of the stuff that he does in the community is a really good fit. So, yeah. And I am newer to the board and wanted to take this RubyConf on.
And so another role that I've been playing, we've been building out the RubyConf and RailsConf websites. And so I've been internal and just a part of the conversations a little bit more than I had previously. So not on the board, but participating internally. So that's how we got synced up.
It's awesome. Is this first time doing a program chair for either of y'all?
For me, yes.
And I would say this is different than running Madison Ruby because I have a lot more control over that. And so there are budgets and sponsors and speakers. It just takes a lot more effort to put the larger conference on. And so it is both a thing that I'm familiar with and it's new in a lot of ways as well.
So you mentioned before we started recording that the CFP ends July 8th. Out of curiosity, what are this year's tracks for RubyConf?
So I would say an overall theme that we're excited about, and we can go kind of deeper into what exact themes we're looking for, but we're definitely looking for more technical talks than we have in the past. I think there's always been a stereotype that RubyConf is very not technical, and we're trying to change that. So we want technical talks that are accessible, but also can cater to a wide variety of levels. But yeah, we're really excited to see how people can uniquely present very technical topics. And yeah, they seem to be very popular and just being able to walk away with something that's tangible that you can either try in your code base or pitch to your CTO or something like that, that you want to try different things like that. So I would say that's kind of an overall theme. We're still, obviously, we would like to still have non-technical talks and things like that, but that's definitely something that we're looking for more in these submissions than we have in the past. So
I would just add to that, that I think that follows the maturation of the community over the years. Everybody wants senior developers. And so what better way to draw more of those in than to give them something they want to show up to? We do have four themes that we've been working through, and these are ones that Kinsey and the program committee have come up with, which is performance and scale, Ruby on the web, Ruby in AI, data science, and machine learning, as well as Weird Ruby, which is my personal favorite. Like, I want to hear what sort of shenanigans are people getting up to.
Yeah, definitely. We would love to see it too.
Is there going to be a dev day this year like there was at the last one?
Yes. So we're super excited about that. It'll be the third time we're doing it because it was also at RailsConf, and it'll be the middle day. But we're also doing lightning talks at the end of that day, which I'm excited about. I'm hoping that people might do lightning talks on something that happened during the community day. So yeah, we'll have workshops and all the fun things like we had at RailsConf, you know, pairing companies, hopefully, and people who you can pair with or work with or that sort of thing. So it's a lot of good feedback, and we're continuing to improve that as far as organization goes and how that works. So
yeah, I've had the luxury of being the last RubyConf and the last RailsConf. So I've been able to see that hack day sort of evolve over the course of those three. The first conference in San Diego at RubyConf, they did it the first day. And I think a lot of people didn't know what to make of it. And we're figuring things out as we're doing it for the first time. And so the second time around, putting it in the middle, I think meant a lot more people stuck around and worked with folks. And it was good to see full tables full of people, as well as for RailsConf, they added this office hours. So you could go and work with ThoughtBot, or you could go and work with Evil Martians, in addition to a bunch of maintainers and other folks that were there.
Going back to the CFP for a minute, I'm curious, it might be helpful for people who are interested in submitting a talk and haven't before, just to hear maybe from people in the program chair, what are you and the committee specifically looking for in a talk when you're reviewing a proposal?
So I think a lot of times you can tell when people are bringing their experience, and that really comes through in the proposal. I don't think that you need to have experience having given a talk, but I think really thinking through the concept and writing an outline and showing that you know your stuff and you know roughly how you're going to present it doesn't need to be a final draft. But I think your experience drafted in an outline, as well as give a concise, compelling story about the narrative that you're going to tell, I think those are all really just invaluable in order to get through the initial screening process. And then when you submit your talk, that's what we have to go on. We're not basing it based on the person who's submitting it. We don't have a bunch of additional information. And so it's really critical that you get detail into those so that we get a sense reading through them that you're going to be able to deliver on this topic.
Yes. Plus one to that. And I think just overall looking for people who are passionate, and again, all levels, you don't have to have spoken before. We have speaker coaches for that. So if you're nervous, yeah, also CFP coaching sessions if you're nervous about submitting. So
what are y'all looking to kind of bring to this conference this year in terms of something new, something same, the vibe you're going for? Maybe like you definitely mentioned the technical talks, which I'm excited about because I actually love going to RubyConf because the talks are more technical usually. So I love that y'all are leaning into that this year because that is my absolute favorite part about RubyConf. So I just wonder if y'all can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that we've seen people trending. I've noticed some of the last conferences that the really technical talks have been packed, overflowing out into the hallway. So it just seems like that's really what our community has been wanting to hear. And I also think that being able to present well really technical topics is a really hard thing to do, but I know that we can all learn a lot from each other. And also selfishly, it's when I go to RubyConf or RailsConf, I come back to my team and I'm like, hey, this is what I learned. Look at all this cool stuff. And I get some awesome brownie points if I like have this cool idea that I saw at a talk and want to implement it. So
yeah, I think one of the other things that we've been inspired by is the folks that show up for RubyKaigi, which is a very technical conference, and they're building huge audiences over there. And I'll just reiterate that this has definitely been Kinsey's push to make a more technical program, and I'm excited about it.
I remember my first RubyConf was in 2016 in San Antonio. And even back then, I remember hearing people just in the hallway track be like, I wish there were more technical talks. My first conference, I was like, what do you mean? Like, there's all these talks. But yeah, I guess that theme has kind of just resonated almost for 10 years. So excited to hear there's a push for that.
Yeah. And yeah, what Jim was saying is a lot of people are going to very remote places in Japan for this conference and all technical, very, very technical talks. So definitely inspired by that.
I've never been to Kaigi, but people who talk about it are like passionate about it. It's not just, oh, it's another conference. It's this is the conference. And so right. Like all of a sudden, what am I missing out on by not going? So it's interesting.
It makes sense, especially with the way the economy is now and the job market is now. For those of us who have companies that are willing to pay to send us to conferences, we have to justify that in some sense, right? I remember in the early days when I would come back with all these great ideas of things I'd learned at conferences. So I'm excited to maybe get that spark. I remember going to a talk, one of my first Ruby or Rails conf's, and that night I sat up and rewrote my entire senior project, which was a Rails app I've been building because I learned something new at a talk and it inspired me. And those moments of inspiration from conferences are what I really seek. It sounds like this is going to be one of those that you can't miss.
I've been on a little bit of a journey these last few weeks. I've been going out and doing meetups in various cities, in part to bring more interest to Madison Ruby, but also to RubyConf and just get connected to more people who are showing up and supporting. But one of the surprises that I've had while I've been out has been running into people who I've met in the community before, but it's been a while, and to see that they're still doing it and they're growing up through their companies and whatnot. And I asked these folks, hey, would you consider coming to the RubyConf this year and giving a talk? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I think a little bit, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but I think people have kind of lost that conference muscle through the pandemic. And just as you mature through your career, you get more responsibilities and there's maybe a little bit less time for conferences and things like that. And it's so important. And so those folks I talked to were looking for an excuse to come, and I would like to give everybody that excuse to come. If you've been to a Ruby conference before and you know the power of being around people and building network, which I know you three do for sure, all five of us, there's not a whole lot like it for your career to meet a bunch of really talented people. I cannot tell you the times that I have reached out into that well and said, hey, things aren't going well where I'm at. I'd like to go do something else. Do you have any references or thoughts or anything like that? And people have delivered in ways that I couldn't have expected. But if I didn't have that network and I hadn't built those relationships over the years, I would have been stuck where I was. And that is a small part of the power of conferences. Talks are great. Technical talks are great. And that hallway track, that dinner track, those are so vital. They have been so vital to my career. I don't want to understate it.
Or I met the two of them at a conference. So, and I met my co-host of Ruby for All, Julie, at a conference. So
you're on another podcast?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Cool. I'm glad we did that.
Sorry, Kenzie, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Yeah. The only reason I've gotten certain jobs were from meeting people at conferences and things like that. And it was really cool to see your Andrew talk about how he was inspired by conferences and things like that. And that's definitely the goal, the feeling we want to create. Just leave feeling really inspired to try something new or write code. I know I went to a good conference when I'm so excited to come back to work and write code. So yeah, hopefully we can do that for folks for this conference as well.
Yo, quick question for you. Do you want higher clarity into production, but don't have the time to become a wizard in observability? Honey Badger Insights is exactly what you need. Forget the old school trio of logs, metrics, and traces. We're talking structured events that don't just sit there. They're your treasure map to solving mysteries in your app. With Honey Badger, sling your logs and events into the mix and voila, you just unlock the power of Honey Badger's new query language, BadgerQL. It's like having a conversation with your data. Ask it anything. Turn mishaps into metrics and showcase your wins on dashboards that even the marketing team will drool over. And guess what? This isn't just for big spenders. Honey Badger's got you covered with a free plan that packs a punch, including error tracking, uptime monitoring, sleek status pages, and more. Oh, and speaking of errors, Honey Badger treats them like VIPs at the club. With Insights and BadgerQL, your errors aren't just problems, they're opportunities. explore your data in ways you didn't think were possible, and get the insights that you deserve. Check out honeybadger.io. That's right, honeybadger.io.
At the time of this recording, there's only one keynote speaker announced. Are there any bombs that can be dropped on this episode of other keynote speakers that are coming to RubyConf?
So we have Mats for sure, which is exciting because he hasn't been in person since the pandemic. And then we also have Kent Beck, who is coming. So we're really excited to have him. I don't know who else we can say if they've signed a speaker agreement.
It was worth a shot.
So I will say this. I do know that we have one more signed speaker agreement.
Oh, perfect. Then yes, we can announce it.
And I'm excited. Again, I like people that put a little bit of creativity into their talks. And somebody that does that in spades is Brandon Weaver. And so excited to share that he will also be keynoting. If you've ever seen one of Brandon's Lemur talks, I don't know exactly what he's talking. I know that he's hinted that he's got a new talk coming up and it is nature themed, but he shared an image of 20 books that he's using for research for his next talk. So I'm really excited to see that.
We feel like Brandon really fits the bill of a very, very hardcore technical talk, but also very accessible and entertaining. So we're excited to have him keynote. Yeah, last I heard it was going to be about monads in Ruby, so we'll see. But yeah, I don't know if he's still going in that direction, but really excited for that. I know that he was just asking, he had to go through work to see if he could for sure do it. So it sounds like he signed, so that's great. And we have a lot more exciting keynote speakers too. We have to wait for them to sign their agreement and then, yeah, stay tuned on that.
That's exciting. Before I move on away from RubyConf, is there anything else about this upcoming RubyConf that you think is interesting or you're excited about and you want to share?
I'm excited for it to be back in Chicago. It is such a great city and it will be a great city even in November. Weather's not always amazing that in our part of the country then, but I actually am sitting in Chicago right now, which is not my usual place, but there's just a ton of energy here and a ton of great food. And I'm really excited to show people who haven't been here a good time.
I'm selfishly really excited. It's in Chicago. I love going to Chicago. My favorite tiki bars in Chicago. I mean, there's just so many great things.
Is that Three Dots?
That's Three Dots. Yeah. I was there like 3 weeks ago.
Are you all doing the scholars and guides again?
We are, yes. Every year. And it's definitely gotten a little, since post-pandemic, the program has gotten a little bit smaller. But yeah, we're still doing that. We're super excited. So we'll have a group of scholars and a group of guides. And we love doing that for every conference. So
could you give a quick rundown for anybody who hasn't learned about that program yet? And maybe it's their first RubyConf that they've been to, or someone who wants to be a guide?
Yeah. So it's an awesome program that we offer at our conferences. And basically we have people who apply to be a scholar. They get a free ticket to the conference, but they also get paired with a guide who is usually a veteran in the Ruby community who's been to conferences. And it can be really, really overwhelming. And you may remember going to your first Ruby conference, especially if you're not going with coworkers or things like that. So really having a group of not only other people who are in the same boat as you as a first time RubyConf goer, but yeah, someone who's just new to the community. So having that group. So we do a reception before where you get to meet everyone. And then you're also paired with a guide. So if you have questions or what talks do I go to, different things like that. We reserve the first two rows of the keynote room for them. We have reserved lunch tables. So you always feel like you have a place to go sit and eat lunch, and yeah, just to sit and connect with people who are friendly faces and have that person that you can ask questions to, rely on, someone who won't judge you. We actually, last year we had a scholar guide pair who had been a scholar and guide match, I think 4 or 5 years before. They did a conference talk together, which was super cool. And yeah, a lot of times we'll have scholars who come back as guides after they've gotten a job. I know a lot of scholars have gotten their jobs through their guides or another guide in the program. So yeah, it's been really cool to see just kind of the success stories that have come through that program and just how meaningful it is to have that sense of community when it's your first time and that sort of thing.
When does that open for submissions?
Oh, I don't know the exact dates off the top of my head for when the applications open, but I can see. Yeah, I don't think we have the dates exactly yet, but we'll definitely put it on our site and all of our social accounts. So that way, when they open or are about to open, that everyone will be aware. Because yes, we would love to have as many guide applicants and as many scholar applicants as we can.
Well, I'm excited for RubyConf this year. Excited to get back to RubyConf. I haven't been since Denver, I don't think. So I wanted to end today's episode by actually asking both of you when your first Ruby and Rails conf you went to was.
I'll jump in here real quick because it's a pretty vivid memory. I went to RailsConf 2007 out in Portland, and I went with a friend of mine. We were both kind of learning Rails on the side, and we were in Microsoft.NET Stack company and not digging it at the time. We had done a book club and tried to learn Java. We're like, that's not it. We started monkeying about with Rails, and that was in 2006. And then RailsConf 2007 came up, and we decided to head out there. It was definitely career changing for me. I remember DHH being followed around by a gaggle of young developers trying to get his attention. And I just shared this elsewhere recently, but we went to a reject conf. And so we were at, I think Free Geek might have been the organization, but we sat in broken couches and chairs, and Ryan Davis hosted reject conf. And it was just a really great experience. Even if folks didn't get their talk submitted or accepted for the conference, you know, there was somebody that put together a place for them to talk, which was great. And then as it turned out, my first day as a professional Rubyist was RubyConf 2007 in Charlotte. So shortly thereafter, getting hired, my friend got hired at what would become HashRocket. And then I went down and joined him, and they made me drive the RV home for the conference. So
how big was the Rails or RubyConf in 2007?
You're asking about 17 years ago. And so
I'll take a very vague guess.
Yeah, which is what you're going to get. I would say probably RailsConf was larger. So RailsConf was larger. It was in Portland. RubyConf, I want to say, was 400 people or so. And it felt very significant. Just the people that were there were all people that I looked up to, but that was easier at the time because I didn't know anybody. In fact, I wound up meeting Pat Maddox at that conference. And probably 10 years later, he and I both realized that we thought the other person was a big deal. And so we wound up hanging out the entire conference and enjoying our time, but we didn't know any better.
It's awesome. And Kinsey, how about you?
I can't remember what year this was, but it was RubyConf when it was in Miami a while ago. And I had the time
before my time.
Yeah, I had the time of my life. So yeah, after that, it was downhill from there. I met just like amazing people. It was a really, really great conference. I was trying to look it up when it was, but so that was my first conference.
When I first started going, I was looking at all the past Ruby and Rails comps, and they're like Miami, all these like California, all these cities that I don't get to that are really cool. And then when I started going, it was Atlanta, Kansas City, San Antonio, which are fine cities, but they're all near me. I need an excuse to like go to Miami. So that's what I'm optimistic for future Ruby comps is more beaches.
Yes. I think it was a distraction too, because I definitely went jet skiing during RubyConf Miami. So
how about the rest of y'all? I'm curious when your first Ruby or Rails conference were.
RailsConf 2015 in Atlanta, and then RubyConf 2015 San Antonio.
I think it was RailsConf 2018 in Pittsburgh. I was still in college.
Definitely that Atlanta RailsConf. That, wait, didn't you go to the Kansas City? Or was that after that, Jason?
Kansas City was after that.
That was after that. Okay. Yeah, I went to that Atlanta one. Then first time I was at RubyConf was last year in San Diego.
It's a good first RubyConf.
It was good. Yeah. It was a lot of fun being on that resort where we just hung out at the fire pits all night. That was great.
Well, thank you all for taking the time to join us today and talk about RubyConf. We're all three excited to get to RubyConf this fall. Any links you want to share, any places people can find y'all online?
Yes, I'm not on Mastodon yet. I know I need to get on there, but I'm not huge. So definitely LinkedIn. I'm still on Twitter. I don't go on there a ton anymore. But yeah, also just feel free to email us if you have any questions about the CFP or submitting or anything that we can help with in regards to that. So
at the RubyConf site, rubyconf.org, has a FAQ. If anything's not covered there, there's a email there that you can reach out to us. I'm Jay Remzik Jr. pretty much everywhere on socials, as well as on ruby.social on Mastodon.
All right. Well, good to chat with you, and we appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.